Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 83. In this episode, I've got a special guest. He's managed to come in and agree to have a discussion. He's one of the leading experts on affiliate marketing. He does the leading podcast in the subject, the Affiliate Guy Daily Podcast. We've got Matt Williams in the house. It should be a great discussion. Like I say, we're going to discuss all things around affiliate marketing and how you can utilize it in building your membership website in 2024. He's the guy with the knowledge. It should be a great interview. So, Matt, can you give the tribe a quick intro about you and the podcast?
Yeah, about my podcast. I mean, it's a very simple podcast. I cover one thing and one thing only, and that is how to start, grow, and scale an affiliate program. That is it. So I share a lot of advice from my experience as an affiliate manager. I've been in the affiliate world for almost 20 years now as we're recording this. And
you look so young, Doug.
I started young, but I'm like a dinosaur in the industry now. So, I started in the industry almost 20 years ago. My company that I had, myself and two business partners, we were basically about ready to go bankrupt. We couldn't make payroll the following week, and we were spending all of our money on marketing, you know, kind of traditional marketing back then, online marketing type stuff. And we said, okay, well, there's a better way to do this. There's got to be some better way where we can not only, you know, make money before we spend it. That's a big advantage, but also that is guaranteed profitable, you know, because we're only going to share a percentage of the income. So the guaranteed profit's kind of nice. But it actually can scale and can really grow our business in some powerful ways. And so we had this random idea to start an affiliate program, and we did. Fast forward about 18 months later, that affiliate program was doing over $1 million a month. And, you know, not only had saved our business, but put us in a position where we were able to hire, you know, an additional 35, 40 people. We were able to become the largest privately held company in our industry, and really set the course of, you know, the next 18 years of my life.
Well, there you go. That's an amazing story, Tribe. Like I say, it should be a great interview. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of the show, I've got a couple of quick messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convesio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convesio at convesio.com.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out that we've got a great new course. If you're looking to build your membership website on WordPress, and I think you should do, but you're looking to do it really quickly and painlessly, we've got a great course available to you that show you from A to Z how to do it as quickly as possible and painlessly. It's done by my other host of my podcast. He's got enormous experience. Plus, we'll offer a special price to you, listener. You get a 50% discount, so it's really affordable. To get this deal and to sign up for the course, plus a load of other resources, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals, and you find the course. plus a load of other special offers and deals from the sponsors. What more could you ask for? That's what I say. Go on, Matt. It's not a bad joke, Matt. All right, no, I'm trying to get a grin from Matt. There we go. He's had a hard day, I can tell. And it's only going to get worse because he agreed to come on this podcast. There we go. But I couldn't help that. So, Matt, given a fantastic intro, I can tell you're a polished podcaster, about how you got into affiliate marketing. So maybe, I don't know if you want to go into any depth about it, because you gave such a powerful intro message about affiliate marketing. So did you have any previous knowledge about affiliate marketing before you started it with this company and it turned the situation around for you? Or was it just
not really? No. I mean, in fact, that was the hardest thing was not only did I not know anything about it, but really nobody was talking about it. You know, there wasn't an affiliate guide podcast back then. There wasn't, I mean, I've published, I don't even know, I'm on episode roughly 600, right? 580 something. I mean, that's, you know, an average of 30 minutes. You know, that's 290 hours of content on affiliate marketing, building an affiliate program that you can get. You know, I've written, I mean, millions of words on my site, mammothclaims.com, literally millions of words. I think we're over 3 or 4 million at this point words. If you just, you know, I mean, I've written hundreds of articles, you know, an average of, you know, a few thousand words each. I mean, that's millions. Like it's the amount of content there. And I'm just one person. You know, we have two courses on it, with a third one coming, a book coming, you know, there's another 75 to 85,000 words. All in, you know, in something, you know, that's this size, like that's, you know, that's a life's work, right? In a book, it's crazy. That didn't exist back in 2005. And so when I was trying to figure out how to start an affiliate program, you know, there was like a couple of blog posts and, you know, a forum post that I could find. And so I'm not saying that I invented it, but I had to make it up for myself. Other people were doing it, not very many people. But other people were doing it and I kind of had to, I didn't have enough time to go out and learn. Like I said, we could not make payroll in 2 weeks. We paid payroll on a Friday. This meeting happened on the next day, Saturday, the Saturday of in the United States, we have Memorial Day weekend, 2005. That is supposed to be a day where ostensibly we're celebrating those who've died in battle. But really it's just an excuse for Americans to take Monday off and stay, you know, go to, you know, cookouts and drink beer and have fun.
Well, I love it. I actually live in America. I'm a joint citizen. I'm a joint citizen. I'm so English, aren't I, man?
And I'm supposed to be doing that. And instead, I spent the whole weekend in the office trying to figure this out. In a matter of 72 hours, we coded. There was no out-of-the-box affiliate program back then. There are hundreds of options. We're creating our own affiliate network. There's dozens of good affiliate networks out there. There are softwares out there that you can have an affiliate program up and running by the end of today. You could be listening to this at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and by six, you could have an affiliate program. That's how easy it is. We had to code it back then. So I had to get our developer, who by the way, was seven time zones ahead of me, but thankfully was still up and I didn't have money to pay him. So I said, hey, I'll give you a percentage of all the sales through the affiliate program. Let's just say he ended up making a lot of money. Was much better than if I'd paid him a few thousand dollars up front to do it. And so we had to code this and I had to figure out how to do it. And I kind of came up with this philosophy. It's still my philosophy today. If you look at the hard skills of running an affiliate program, there's basically three. You need to know sales, you need to know marketing, and you need to know customer service. Now, there's a lot of great salesmen out there who don't know marketing. There's a lot of great people who at customer service who don't know sales or marketing. You got to know all three because you got to know how to market so you can communicate with the affiliates. I was a marketer. I knew SEO. I knew PPC. There was no social media back then, so I didn't know that, but I knew the two big ones, PPC and so, you know, and SEO. I knew email marketing. I knew those. I had been in sales my whole life. I just didn't know it up until about a year before. You know, I grew up with a dad who was essentially a salesman. And I knew customer service also from my dad and from other people in my life. And so I was able to combine those three things and kind of make it up as I went. And like I said, over the course of, you know, a couple of weeks, we were able to make just enough money to cover payroll. The next couple of weeks made just enough money to make payroll. And we kind of did that for a few months. And then, you know, again, fast forward 18 months later, and we were doing over $1 million a month.
Right. That's an amazing story, really. So you got all this experience. So, you know, you normally when you get a bit of experience under your belt, you start to see patterns. What are, you know, some of the most often things people get wrong around affiliate marketing, or the things that they just don't understand clearly? Sure. Maybe you can give one or two that you regularly see.
I mean, the first one is that they don't need an affiliate program. They're saying, you know, we can just grow, you know, we can grow, you know, however we're growing, right? We can grow our business only on Facebook ads. You know, we can grow our business only on LinkedIn or only on SEO or only on what we're doing. And, you know, I often share this story, but there's a guy, there's a story I tell about a guy who became a client whose name I, you know, if you know our client list, you'll figure out who it is, but I don't say his name. So I always call him Joe because this guy, he's, you know, he's pretty famous. He's delivered a main stage TED talk, not like TEDx, but main stage, has, you know, at least three, few more than three best-selling books. You know, and the guy, I mean, the guy's a multimillionaire, and he was doing great. And he said, we don't need an affiliate program. We can grow our business on Facebook alone. They were doing millions a month through Facebook. And now the irony is this guy, his entire platform is all about diversifying your income. In other words, having different income streams. You should, you know, you have your income that you earn, and you should have investing, and you should invest in real estate. And when you invest, you shouldn't just invest in the Dow Jones or the S&P 500. You should invest overseas, and you should invest in some small cap stocks, some risky stocks, and you should invest in real estate. And he's like, you know, even now he even teaches, you know, invest a little bit in Bitcoin, invest a little bit in gold, which are, you know, very different than stocks. Like, you know, he's invest in bonds, invest in all these things. He was putting all of his marketing eggs in the Facebook basket. And so after we talked, his CMO and I are really good friends. His CMO tried to convince him to start an affiliate program. And he's like, no, we don't need it. We can do, look at what we're doing on Facebook. We're doing 5 million a month on Facebook. Why would I start this other thing? They ran an ad. They got their account shut down for over a week. When they got their account, so 1 week, not a single lead came in other than a few referrals. Basically, their sales team sitting there throwing pencils up into the drop ceiling, like, what the heck are we supposed to be doing? When they came back, their ad costs had more than tripled. They went from what amounted to pretty close to 100% profit margin down to sub 10% profit margin on their ads. And so then they called me, and of course I charged them a lot more money than I would have. So that's what you get.
Oh, that was a very nice bet, was it?
But they were desperate. So they had to get this. We got this program up and running in 5 days, you know, which is a lot longer than it normally takes. We got this program up and running. We scaled it rapidly. Ended up being huge for them. Now they're doing, you know, $3-4 million a month just from their affiliate program. They're back up with Facebook, not to the original amounts. They were doing in excess of 5 million a month through Facebook. They're now doing about 3 million, but their total business, even with Facebook getting cut by 40%, their total business has almost doubled. And so that they believe that they don't need an affiliate program. The other, you know, kind of false conception, that I see so often is just, well, there's two actually. The first one is that you have to know a lot of people and you got to do a lot of reciprocal promotions to get affiliates. One of the underlying beliefs there is like, well, the only way to get affiliates is if I promote you, you'll promote me. I can, you know, we can't just have affiliates who only promote us. That's not true. Most of the programs we run, 99.9% of the affiliates, there is no reciprocation. They are promoting a good product. They are getting paid for it. That is the end of the quote unquote transaction. And the flip side is like, I gotta be famous to start an affiliate program. I gotta know all the right people. I gotta be best friends with all my affiliates. It's just not true. you know, when we ran, I've run Shutterfly, I've run Adidas, those programs, we had over 200,000 affiliates in each of those programs. I knew 50 of them. That meant I knew like 0.0001% of the affiliates. I didn't even know who the other people were. I knew nothing about them personally. Now, those 50, yeah, I knew them really well. I could tell you their spouse's name. I could tell you their kids' names. I could tell you where they went to college, what teams they cheer for. But that's about the limit, 50 to 125. Some of that information I would keep in a database so that if I did happen to get on the phone with one of the other 199,950 affiliates, that I could engage in conversation with them and be like, oh, your team won the Super Bowl last week. Congratulations. You know, I could do that. But then the other one is that people who believe that most of their sales are going to come from only a few affiliates. And this is such a commonly held belief. I remember I was at a big conference probably about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I was at a conference, big name in the internet marketing space, Jonathan. Guy, we both know him. Everybody on this, everybody who's listening to this has probably heard of this guy. He's become since then a dear friend of mine and a client. And I've worked with him. But he said on stage, he said, 90% of your sales will come from your top 3 to 5 affiliates. I remember me and one of the guys that worked with me looked at each other like, that's not true. Not when we run programs. You know, when we run programs, the top 3 account for 5, 10, maybe 20% of the sales. The top 10 account for 10, 15, 20, 25% of sales because we build a huge diversified affiliate base. We build what we call an affiliate army. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of affiliates, sometimes hundreds of thousands of affiliates who are, some of them might only do one sale a month or 2 sales a year. But when you start adding them up, it's a lot of sales. And so the irony is that guy who said that from stage, he said 90% of your sales will come from your top 3 to 5 affiliates. 3 years later, after he saw us run an affiliate program for one of his friends, and he saw what we did and he saw how we had grown that program from a couple million dollars a year to over $10 million a year through building that army, he reached out to us. They became a client. He saw what we were doing and he saw that his philosophy was no longer true. It might've been true 10, 15 years ago, but it was no longer true today.
That's fantastic. One of the things I've attempted in this podcast, Matt, is there's a lot of what I consider misleading and downright lies said about building a membership e-learning focused business. And I've tried consistently to put forward methodologies from the startup world, from the bootstrap startup world.
Yeah.
About like minimum viable product. So I go on about minimum viable course, about you do actually have to launch a course to get feedback from your target audience.
Totally, about, yeah.
About not too broad an audience, you know, if it's your first course, maybe nicheify. I'm not even sure. I love that word, Matt. I'm not sure if it exists, but I use
nicheify. Yeah, I like it.
You need to find your niche, right? Don't think. So I get most of this from the bootstrap startup world. Most of it, I blatantly copy it and I put my own spin on it. So the other thing is a lot of people really, for understandable reasons, they focus on the course. They start building what I call a war and peace course. They throw the kitchen sink in.
Everybody's done that, yeah.
And they get obsessed about marketing automation, about the technology before they got even their first student and got any consistent feedback. So I say, don't do all that. But the other thing is actually getting these first students. And I think, is it possible if you haven't got an enormous amount of experience in online marketing and you've done some basic things about your course, is it possible to utilize affiliate marketing to get the wheel, get the traction, get that? As you know, to get the wheel turning is the hardest. To get those first 50, 100 students is going to be the hardest part of this journey, isn't it?
And, I mean, that's it's the best way to do it. I mean, the alternative is you got to go out and figure out Facebook. You got to find an audience. You got to slowly build an audience, or you got to do SEO, which just takes time. You got to post and post and post to social media and to YouTube, you know, and you're getting 5 views early on. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's actually something to be said when you're very first starting. You don't want 500 people reading or viewing your content. You want 20 or 30 people. It's like when I started speaking, you know, my very first event that I ever spoke at was not, you know, over 1,000 people. And I've spoken at those. The very first event was at a fish house, at a fish restaurant with 18 people, which actually sometimes can be harder than speaking to a group of, you know, hundreds or thousands, because, you know, it's so intimate. But I spoke in front of 18 people. If I bombed, and frankly, I kind of did, I wasn't great. I spoke way too fast. I had 15 minutes. I finished in 7. Nobody's ever been frustrated with a speaker who finishes a couple of minutes early. But when you finish in half the time, they're like, what the heck are we supposed to do with these 8 minutes now? You know? And I got up there and I was literally speaking at like 1,000 miles an hour or something. And I'm going like this. And I stayed in about a 3-foot area. And I looked at the same, actually, I didn't look at anybody. I looked between the same 2 people the entire time. I was 22 years old, you know, in front of 18 people. Now, if you fast forward the end of that summer, 5 months later, number one, I developed a strategy that helped me. And that was, I took a dose of Pepto-Bismol before I went on live because my stomach would be so upset that I was thinking about my upset stomach. That helped. It kind of calmed my nerves. Some people may take a shot of whiskey. I don't know. I took Pepto-Bismol, right? But I took, you know, and I developed these things and I got used to speaking and the crowds got progressively bigger. And by a couple of years later, it was nothing for me to go to an event and speak to 400, 500, 600 people. It was another 7, 8 years before I ever spoke in front of 1,000 plus people. But I would speak to these people and I got better and better and better. So there's something to be said for small audiences early on, just so you get your sea legs under you, so to speak. But if you want to grow fast, the absolute fastest way is just go get affiliates. Because here's the thing. We live in a world, this was not true when I got into business. This was not true 24 years ago. But there are so many people, unless you are in the most obscure niche on the face of the earth, in which case there's probably only 100 people who have your audience. There are thousands of people who have your audience. I had a conversation today, a dear friend of mine. He's in the weight loss niche. He's a weight loss coach. And he was like, you know, he's been banging his head against the wall with Facebook ads and they're working. He's profitable. He's making, you know, he's profiting $5,000-$10,000 a month. But he's like, I want to take it to the next level. And I'm telling him about, dude, how many people out there have your audience? He's like, you mean like other weight loss coaches? I was like, no, I have your audience, Alan, because I have 25,000 entrepreneurs on my list. And guess what? Statistically speaking, 50% of them are obese. That's what the statistics say. And guess what? You know what I know about those 12,500 people? Every single one of them is scared to go on camera. Every single one of them is conscious about the way they look. I said, that is 12,500 people. And so we did this webinar to my entrepreneurs list selling a weight loss product. And he signed up like 8 people into his coaching program collectively, who have now lost over 500 pounds, by the way. So I've changed their lives. One of them, Bob Harris, has lost like 78 pounds. The guy's like 62 years old. He hasn't been under 350 pounds since he was in his late 20s. He's down to like 230. So not only have I changed their lives, but frankly, I made $24,000. That's a lot of money to promote a simple webinar about weight loss. So there are people out there with your audience already. If you think about it for just a moment. Now, you may be in a really obscure niche. I don't know. You manufacture, I'm just looking at my desk. I'm trying to find something that's a little bit obscure. So you manufacture, I have nothing obscure in my desk. Okay. All right. Let's do gym equipment, right? Gym equipment. I can see my gym. So I have right above my monitor, I can see the top part of my pull-up bar, right? So I've got the pull-up bar. All right. If you sell the pull-up bar, who has your audience? Literally everyone who talks about health and fitness. Now, are 85-year-old women going to buy a pull-up bar? Probably not. So if you have somebody whose audience...
Oh, I love to meet them, Matt.
I know, that's ageist and sexist. I get it. But my point is, they're probably not the target audience for this. Let's be honest, you know? And so I'm not saying they shouldn't work out. They should, but that's a whole different story. But if you have somebody out there who's got a supplement, they can sell your pull-up bar. If you got somebody out there who teaches weight loss, Alan is a perfect affiliate for that pull-up bar. Are his 440-pound clients going to be knocking out pull-ups on day one? Absolutely not. But what about Bob? Bob's down to 220. Bob can probably come pretty darn close to doing a pull-up right now. And so my point is, like, people out there already have your audience. They already exist. And you don't have to pay up front. You pay after the transaction is made. That's the beauty of it. So you can cash flow it. Zuckerberg takes your money first, and there's no guarantee you're going to make any money. It is absolutely guaranteed 100% that if you sell a product, for example, for $100 or a membership for $100 a month and pay the affiliate a 40% commission or 20% commission or whatever, you know, again, depends on the product, of course. But if you have a membership, $100 a month or a course, $1,000, and you pay the affiliate a percentage, if you lose money, you really suck at math. It is impossible to not make money. In fact, to not make a lot of money. It's the fastest way to scale course sales, membership sales, product sales, services, you name it.
Before, I just got a quick question before we go for our break. I think the other factor is how do you, obviously the purpose of this interview is to get people's interest about affiliate marketing, and then they can go over to your podcast and listen to all the content you've got, and they can go over to your website. That is the purpose of me bringing you on to this podcast, is to my tribe, is to give them a glimpse and some of the key concepts, and then they, if they're interested, they can go over and do further research, Matt. Right?
Yeah.
We can't give them the keys of the kingdom in a 1 hour.
We can't.
In a 1 hour chat, can we? But we can give them some insights, and hopefully they come to the understanding that you have a lot of knowledge in the particular area, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit daunting, you know, you've got these affiliate marketplaces, aren't they, where you sign up and you've got to have a certain amount of traffic, or there's some parameters that they want you to fulfill, and they've got a whole ecosystem of affiliate markets. Or is it, would you join one of those, or would you do the initial outreach, build your own list of people that you think would be a good affiliates, and then you'd personally outreach to them? How would you initially approach this?
Yeah, for very first place I would start is my friends. Any relationships you currently have, no matter how loose that relationship is, maybe you're in a group together, you're in a mastermind together, you're in a forum together, you know, something like that. I would start with friends. The simple reason is they're going to give you the most grace. The reality is, we talked about like public speaking and how I sucked at first. Your affiliate program is probably not going to be all that great on day one. You're going to make mistakes. Things are going to break. The tech's going to break, whatever. And so as much as you can get those very early adopters, and I'm not talking for months, I'm talking for days or weeks, to be people that you already have an existing relationship who aren't in it for the money. In other words, if they send 1,000 people and only convert 40 of them, and they only make $1,600 instead of they expected 3,000, they're not going to say, you know what, screw you, Jonathan, I'm done. They're going to say, you know, we're friends. Hey, thanks for the $1,600. I'll promote you again in a few months when things are a little bit better. You know, they're going to give you that grace. So always start there. The second place that I would look, the forums and the groups of affiliates, the biggest problem with those, number one, getting access to them. Number two, not, you know, like if we want to get moving today, the best time to join an affiliate group is a year before you need anybody to promote, so you can contribute. So I'm not saying don't join, but that's like a second month thing. Your very first month, we want to get up and running quickly. So again, start with friends, get them promoting, work through some of the kinks. I'm doing this with a client right now. We launched this past Monday. We're recording this on a Friday. And so 5 days ago, we launched and we started with his previous connections. We started with 50 people. That was it. 50 people. Why? Because we've already discovered that the phone verification on the payment, you know what? It works in the United States, but it doesn't work outside the United States. Oops, we didn't know that. Why? None of us are outside of the United States. We had 14 people testing this thing. All of us are in the US. We never knew. We broke it. Now we fixed it. It took a day and we fixed it. We found a couple of other little problems that we, as people who predominantly use Chrome as the browser and are pretty tech savvy, didn't notice a couple of the issues that, you know, a less tech savvy person on Internet Explorer or Firefox would have. And so we've been able to work through those with 50 people. Now we're ready to go big time because we've already fixed everything. But the second place that I would look is I would go out and I would immediately start picking off your customers' affiliates. All right. I want to pick off my customers' affiliates one by one. All right. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start reaching out to, oh, and if you have customers, by the way, if you already have existing customers, I guess I should have said, if you have existing customers, those would actually come right after your friends. So your friends are the ones that we would want to reach out to first, then our customers. I'm making the assumption that we don't, you know, you don't have customers. So your competitors' affiliates, all right? So I want to take some time. I want to look up who's promoting my affiliates. And then, you know, create a list of those people. Literally, you just go to Google, type in your competitors' names. I probably wouldn't go, if you're in a world where your competitors are, you know, Walmart and then Jim Bob's local, you know, tackle shop, I would start with Jim Bob's local tackle shop and not go after Walmart's affiliates, all right? Unless, and we'll get to this in a second, unless you have a really good angle. So then I'm going to look at their website. I'm going to start reaching out to them. But the first thing I need to do after that is I'm going to find the angle, all right? So I'm going to find the angle that I can get to convince them to become an affiliate. Do I have better commissions? Do I pay faster? As an example of, you know, years ago, that affiliate program that I mentioned that I started, our largest competitor got purchased by a huge hedge fund, large publicly traded company, actually. And this company had a reputation of kind of treating people like a number, not a person. And so it sucked that they were getting bought by them because it meant they had more money than they know what to do with. And we're like, you know, shoot, we're probably going to get, you know, destroyed. But I had this idea in the place where people tend to have ideas, or at least men have ideas, on the toilet, just being honest. You know, I had this idea on the toilet. It hit me one day. I said, what if I could use that against them? What if I could use their bigness against them? So I started reaching out to every single one of their affiliates one by one. And I basically said, hey, you know, you may have heard that such and such company got bought by so-and-so and they treat people like a number, not a person. I don't believe in that. And I want to treat you as an affiliate like you're a person. I want to get to know you. I want to be able to customize our offers to your audience. So here's my cell phone, my personal cell phone number. Text or call me anytime. And one by one, I started picking off those affiliates. Now, we had to have better, you know, creative than them. We had to have better, you know, conversions than them. We couldn't be worse in those categories, but I found that angle, that unique angle to be able to reach out to them. And so we start reaching out to those competitors because, I mean, again, they know affiliate marketing. They know the market. They have experience. And if I can get them, it's actually a double win because, you know, now not only am I gaining, say, $1,000 a month in sales, but my competitor is losing $1,000 a month in sales. So it's a little bit of a double win too.
That was fabulous, Matt. Thank you so much for that insight. We're going to go for our middle break. We've got a couple of messages from our sponsors that we really appreciate. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a feast of knowledge from Matt. He's been on fire. He's warming up to the task, I can tell. He's smiling a little bit more. Yes, he looks a little bit happier, but there we go. Before we go into the second half, I just want to point out we've got a fabulous Facebook group, that the Membership Machine Show group. If you're looking to build your membership website on WordPress and you're looking for a great community that can support you in doing this, and you need to do it, the first step of a 1,000-mile, the first point of a 1,000-mile journey is the first step. I kind of mucked that up, but the essence of it was quite true, is that first step. And joining a great group can help with that. We'd love you to come over and join. So, Matt, any kind of trends or anything you've noticed over the coming past 12 months that are changing in the world of affiliate marketing? Anything that's coming on your radar that you think you can share?
Yeah, two big things. I mean, one is it's been an evolving trend that I mentioned earlier over the last decade plus. Just the movement from relying on, you know, a small group of bigger affiliates and building that army, that diversified army, that army that is, you know, again, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of affiliates, many of whom are going to be small affiliates. I didn't mention earlier, but one of the big benefits of that is, you know, your risk exposure is pretty dramatically diminished, because if you lose one of 100,000 affiliates, you know, who's doing a few sales, you don't even notice it. You lose one of your five or six big affiliates, you notice it. And so it really, that's one of the biggest trends that's just been evolving for over a decade now. The second one in the last year or so is just the increase in customized promotions. And AI has really made this a lot easier. And I'll give you an example. You know, in affiliate marketing, if you know affiliate marketing, you know that affiliate programs should provide their affiliates with what's known as swipe copy, right? So if we want you to send an email today announcing a big promotion or a product launch or whatever, we'll give you swipe copy. And traditionally what we've done is we've written one or two or three versions of that, maybe for different audiences. So we'll have a version for stay-at-home moms and a version for entrepreneurs and a version for like a faith-based version of swipe copy. Those are three real examples from a promotion we're doing right now. But with AI, it's really easy to create custom swipe copy for individual affiliates and make their job a lot easier. So what I've done is, like, say we're, you know, running one affiliate program right now. We don't do this for everybody, but we'll take the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 dozen affiliates, you know, 30 to 60 affiliates, and we will create a language model that's essentially just us dumping 30 or 40 of their emails, 30 or 40 of their Facebook posts, 100 or so of their shorter social media messages, and we'll just create a language model of their actual stuff. And then we take that, we've trained the model. That takes, you know, an hour per affiliate. And then we'll take our generic swipe copy and say, hey, please write this in the style of Jonathan Denwood. And it creates...
Oh, you definitely don't want to do that, Matt. That would put off people.
But it now I can go to you, Jonathan, and say, here's a five-day, seven-email campaign specifically written for you. And affiliates are loving it. What we've noticed is they're sending more. Typically, if I go to them and say, hey, here's 7 emails to send over the next 5 days, they'll pick like 2 or 3 they like, and that's it. They're liking 6 or 7 of them, all 7. You know, sometimes they're liking, occasionally we'll make 2 versions, maybe a short and a long version of each of those email. And now they're sending all 7 emails. And so that's something that I used to do on a very small scale. I'd do it for like 3 or 4 affiliates, but I had to pay a copywriter to learn their style and try to write in their style. And, you know, it cost me, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 or sometimes $2,000.
And it's not even for an experienced copywriter, is it?
Yeah. But now it's easy. I mean, with AI, I can train the AI to sound just, I mean, our, like my AI personally, I haven't edited an email in months. It sounds just like me. Even the obscure, you know, like it even puts in like the random things. And I'm like, how did it even know to put that? You know, it's crazy, like personal information, you know, it's almost a little bit scary. And so we're able to do that. That's been a big, big change for affiliate programs.
Are we all going to be replaced soon, Matt? So hope for us. We're doomed. Doomed.
Not replaced. Augmented.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the better. That's the more optimistic. I'm English, so I'm full of doom. So there we go. he's starting to laugh at my jokes, folks. There we go. It's a good sign. I think he's making a judgment call. Is this guy a total idiot or is he just acting?
Question for you. I mean, you're English, so who's your team? Who's your Premier League team?
Well, it's Chelsea. I got a lot of stick for that, actually, because I was brought up in North London, so it should be Arsenal or West Ham, but I kind of always migrated to Chelsea, and I always got a lot of stick for that, Matt.
All right.
There we go. come on, England, on Sunday. We can win. We can do
it's
it.
It's going to be big.
Yeah, it's big. Kind of, it's not on the list of questions, Matt, but next month, the influencer marketer manager of Wix has agreed to come on the show, and I've been following her for a while. I've invited the enemy, Matt, but no. It's this, what I would call this witch's brew of affiliate marketing with influencer marketing and the boundaries. Because there's been quite a few influencers, and in some ways I hate the title, because somebody writing a book is an influencer. Somebody going to a speaker fit is influencer. It's not just trying to utilize that term just for online people. I always thought it was a bit ridiculous, but it's around boundaries, because there's quite a few influencers on YouTube, on TikTok, that have got themselves into a bit of a pickle about the boundaries of affiliate marketing and their own tribe. And I struggle with it. I have clear boundaries about who become long-term sponsors. I love them. I've got a small group that have signed up for a year to be sponsors of this show and my other show, which is a bit bigger, Matt. I'm up to my 920th episode, Matt. God almighty, Matt. But a lot of other people got into pickle. How do you advise? And is this something you thought about? Is it just down to common sense and respecting your audience? But a few people that got into a real pickle about all this, they're pretty sharp people. Or is it just greed? They just see the green and they forget about their reputation and their audience.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it goes back to the first rule of affiliate marketing is, you know, only promote good products that you would promote to you'd recommend to your mother. If it was a good product for your mother. Obviously, again, my mother's not the target audience for the pull-up bar. So I would not recommend that to her. But if my mom came to me and said, I need to buy a good pull-up bar for, you know, so-and-so, this is the one. I would recommend it. So if it's not, it doesn't mean you have to use it yourself, to be clear. I mean, I'll give you an example. A lot of people say that I only recommend products that I use.
Yeah.
But you might be 10 years advanced compared to your audience. So I don't use MailChimp, but I recommend MailChimp to beginners.
Yeah.
I don't use MailChimp. Why would I recommend something I don't know? Because my audience, some of them who are literally starting their email list, they have zero subscribers. Why would I recommend that they pay for something? So there are times where I recommend a product that I don't use. So that's not a qualifier to me. If I can go online and find good reviews of it, you know, I do not drive a pickup truck, for example. All right. So if my mom says, what pickup truck should I buy? I'm going to have to go to Consumer Reports and other organizations and read the reviews and look at how people are rating and what's the cost. And then I can make an educated recommendation and say, it's one of these two. Why don't you go test drive those two? Does that make me disingenuous because I don't own that one of those two pickup trucks? Of course not. Because she asked me for my help with something that does not apply to me. I can only own one car. My wife and I each have a car. So I guess technically I do own two, but you know, you get the idea there. Like I'm not going to go get 17 cars in case somebody asks me, you know, how they are. That's ridiculous. So I don't believe that you have to use a product that you recommend or a service that you recommend. Recommend what is best for your audience. If you stick to that, there is never a risk of getting caught recommending something that turns out to be a scam or getting caught that, you know, to recommend something that ends up being a 2-star product. You know, if that pull-up bar, I keep going back to that because it's right in my vision. If that thing were garbage, I would not recommend it. Or here's another thing. I would not recommend that if your budget is under $400. If you really need like a less expensive one that doesn't, you know, take up as much space, then I don't recommend that. That's not disingenuous for me to say. So that's the biggest thing. If you just stick to that, I'm only going to recommend products that I would recommend to my mother if it was good for her and, you know, fits my audience's price point, you're good. Everything else takes care of itself. Now, yeah, there's legal stuff. There's you have to abide by the FTC laws and the California laws and the, you know, the EU laws. And, you know, no matter what, like you say, well, I'm not in the United States. But if you have one person who ever buys a product through your affiliate link from the United States or who is the company is in the United States or that product was so much as made has ever touched the United States, you have to abide by United States law. And so, yes, you need to disclose that you're an affiliate. If you got free, I'll give you an example. These things here, these blue light glasses, I got them for free. If I were to recommend them, I do not recommend them, by the way. They're mediocre. I'm sure they're better and I'll probably find a better pair. But if I were to say, these are the most amazing things ever. They have saved me. I never get headaches. My eyes have gotten better. And I'm 3 feet taller as a result, and I've lost 42 pounds because of these blue light glasses. I would have to disclose the fact that these things normally cost $25 and I got them for free. If I don't do that, I have broken the law. Now, am I going to get caught? Here's the thing. I'll just say probably not, but you could. And then you and that company are both in a world of hurt because you have broken the law. So disclose anything like that. Just be open and honest and you should be good.
I think you're so right. I think it's just being honest and disclosure. That I think a lot of influencers are just seeing the green too much. You know, I don't. The thing with the WordPress community, Matt, is that there's a certain element that can be more than a bit holier than now because it's open source and I've got nothing. I expect people to talk their book of business. Doesn't bother me. They're running a business, so it doesn't really bother me, Matt. You know, sometimes I've had to kind of. You've been fine. But there's some people that have been come on, and I've had to cut the interview a bit short because it's just been a constant PR pitch with very little educational value.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all about balance, isn't it?
It drives me nuts when I listen to an interview with like an author who has a book coming out, and you know, you ask the author the question, and they go, "Well, I cover that in the book." That is the wrong answer. Now, the better way, and this is actually a little trick for me, but this is what I teach. I teach our clients because we run book launches as a part of our services. I say, "Here's how you answer that. If let's say they ask you a thing." And there are five things, right? You list five. I don't know. I'm just going to make up. I'll share an example. They ask you, what are the five best places to find affiliates? I'm going to say, and I'm writing a book about this, right? I'm going to say, listen, in the book, or let me just say, what are the best places to find affiliates? Say, listen, in the book, I share five ways. Let me share the top way with you right now. And then I will spend 5 minutes sharing the top way. I will give you a masterclass for all intents and purposes without actually doing it, because that just sounds weird. Reading the audiobook version of way number one. So if you never buy the book, you leave the interview and you have one really good way that if you execute, that single way grew our affiliate program to over $1 million a month. Now, if you want to grow it like we did over the next 3 years into a $4.5 million a month affiliate program, you need to know the other four ways, right? You need to go buy the book. But if you just want to get, I hate that when it's like, well, I talk about it in the book. Great.
It's only been in my 8 years experience of podcasting. There's only been one or two that I've literally had to cut the interview short. I'm not sure. Do you want to cover AI anymore? Because your previous example of using AI was really quite great. Do you want to cover that at all anymore? Or do you want to go to the last question?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, AI, it's a huge part now. I think, again, the biggest ways that we use it are creating swipe copy, creating social media copy. It just makes it faster. It's not like it was impossible before, but it's faster and scalable. We can create, you know, I can create custom swipe copy for 50 affiliates for a 7 to 10 email campaign. I can do it in a day. That used to be, if I were to do that, it would take me 25 days. So I wouldn't do it. I would do it for, like I said, 3 or 4 and, you know, and be done. That's the first way that we're using AI. The only other way that we're really, really using AI is not in affiliate, like specifically finding the affiliates. That hasn't worked very well. Well, there's two ways, actually. The second one is in identifying markets. So if I've got, I'll give you an example. One of our clients is a supplement. It's a digestive supplement called Zive. And, you know, if you have an audience, by the way, oh yeah, here's my pitch, Jonathan. If you have an audience for that, please email me anytime and I'll, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Just kidding. So it's a digestive supplement. But
you're giving a lot of value in this interview. If you want to do some like pitching, I'll get at
what
it.
You've done
a good job, Matt. Yeah.
But this, you know, I mean, it's a digestive supplement. It literally is, for me, is, you know, helped me with upset stomachs, helped my daughter, cleared up eczema, liver function, blood sugar, does all these things, right? So I used AI to say, okay, what are some competitive products with a product that does this? Because none of us know all the competition and know all the market. And so I started asking, okay, people who buy, this is where I started going, people who buy products for blood sugar management, what other products do they buy? It may have nothing to do with what Zive does, but here's the thing. So I'll give you an example. We found, for instance, that turmeric, which is a natural anti-inflammatory, if you know turmeric, the yellow stuff that's in like saffron and whatnot, it's great. I take a turmeric supplement myself. But people who take turmeric are disproportionately likely to also take other things. And so if we can target turmeric supplement companies' affiliates, it's a completely non-competitive product. You can literally promote the turmeric product and promote Zive. So we used AI to just think of, basically just be a second brain, you know, really high-powered brain. Think, okay, what are other people buying? And how can we keep finding more and more and more and more and more and more and more affiliates? And then the third way that we're using AI is actually with the network that we're developing. It's called Exponential Partners. So it'll be a new affiliate network. It's not on the market yet, so you can't even sign up. You know, don't ask because it's going to be a while. But what we're doing is actually using AI so that the average person, a person running a sub 7-figure a month affiliate program that cannot hire somebody like us. All right, if you're doing $200,000 a month, it is impractical to hire us. All right, you just like, we're expensive. We are worth it to people doing a lot of money, but it's, you're not going to be able to hire us. So if you're running your own affiliate program, or, you know, maybe it's like you and a business partner, and then you have like two VAs, and the business partner is kind of running the affiliate program, but he needs to do it in an hour a day. He can't spend like we do 6-8 hours a day running your affiliate program. He needs to do it in 45 minutes to hour and a half a day. The AI, when you log in, will actually tell you, it'll say, hey, Jonathan, how much time do you have today? And you'll put in, you know, you'll select from a menu like 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. You're like, cool, you have 1 hour. Here are the four things that you should do at that hour. And it'll say, number one, check out these four affiliates. They are down month over month over last month, more than 25%. You should reach out to them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It'll give you some sample emails that you can use. Number two, these two affiliates are converting at a really high rate. That could be a good sign, or it might be a sign of fraud. You should investigate, and it'll go on and on. Number three, you haven't run a promo in over a month. Maybe it's a good time to offer a, you know, a sale. Here are three promotions you've run in the past that have converted really well. And so we'll be using AI to basically just guide you. Like, the AI is going to give you sample emails, but it's not going to send the email for you. It's not going to literally be your affiliate manager. It's just going to be that second brain, almost like you had a data analyst who'd been working the previous 24 hours so that when you walked in the office, think about what you're, you know, like an executive assistant that you have. You walk in the office and that executive assistant, if you ever worked with one, is like, here's what you're doing today. That's essentially what this AI tool will be. It is like, here's what you need to do today, Jonathan, go do it.
Yeah, I think you got some great points there, because I was thinking, I think I had another Formula podcast yesterday and we were discussing, and you probably heard of the product Spark Toro from Fishkin. It helps you identify if you're trying to build a persona as your target audience. And Fishkin was the fan, you know, the SEO.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan, yeah. I've actually interviewed him a couple of times, actually. Nice guy. And he's got this product. And I was saying on my other podcast, Matt, that's one of the areas, you know, that I saw artificial intelligence really helping you do persona research, because it's so time consuming. And I think you've got some really great examples there that it really helps in this kind of research area. So thanks for that. So the last question, and I just want to point out here, Matt, a few of my guests get a bit worried about this last question because they think it's got to be something dramatic. I leave it to you, because obviously the person that we started on our business journey isn't the person that we are now. That would be a bit sad. So the advice that you would probably give yourself at the beginning, you probably wouldn't listen to, because you're a totally different person in your journey. Because I know when I was at 23, 24, I was arrogant little shit. You're not surprised, are you, Matt? But there we go. So it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a couple small, one small thing. But on your, you know, if you're at the beginning of your business career, you had your own time machine, like H.G. Wells, or if you're into Doctor Who, your own TARDIS, you could go back and give yourself a little bit of advice. Is there one or two little things that you would love to know that you didn't know at the beginning?
Yeah. Number one, ask who, not how. I actually think that Dan Sullivan wrote a book called that, if I'm not mistaken. But work on developing a network. Develop relationships with people. You know, I mentioned earlier, don't ever get somebody that you should know their spouse's name and say, how's your wife? How's your husband doing? No. Like, know their name. When their team wins, you better congratulate them. You know, I learned a little trick probably about a decade ago, and I wish I could give credit to whoever told me this, but I don't remember who told me. They said, anytime you're in line and you're waiting, and, you know, so the other night I went to pick up food, you know, for the kids, and I went inside to a you know, not really a fast food place, but where you go up to the counter and order and you have about 10 minutes to wait. I spent those 10 minutes texting people just randomly. I just picked random people out of my network, people I hadn't texted in a while. A lot of times I'll just purposely go to the very bottom of my text threads and just work my way up. Texted six people. We had then four or five of them reply. We had a back and forth, and I re-caught up with them. Scheduled a couple calls, probably going to do some business with one of them. That was worth 10 minutes of my time. Just investing in those relationships so that nowadays when I need something, I don't Google it and try to figure it out myself. I ask. I say, you know what? One of these three people probably knows. Boom. Text them. If I'm really unsure, I'll go to Facebook and post it on Facebook, and I'll get 5 or 10 replies within an hour of people who have an answer for me and a better answer than Google's ever going to get me. So that would probably be the biggest thing, is just asking who, not how. You already know people who know how to do the stuff that you want to do. You know, when I, years ago, when I was, I needed to start developing terms and conditions or an agreement for affiliates, I didn't Google it. You can Google it now, and I think my post may or may not be the number one post for that. But back then, I didn't Google it. I just said, hey, I texted a few of my affiliate manager friends and said, do you have a template? Every one of them sent back a template. I took the best parts of each one, boom, had a template. You know, could have spent a lot of money, could have spent a lot of time. It took me 20, 30 minutes, you know, doing that. When we're creating this network, you know, this affiliate network, I didn't try to think. I didn't Google. I didn't look up. I just texted and emailed and posted on Facebook to my friends. Said, what are you looking for in a network? We got enough responses that we'll build the world's best affiliate network. So thinking of who, not how, you don't need to learn new stuff. If you want to learn new stuff just for fun, like I'm learning graphic design, but like principles of graphic design just for fun, because that's actually entertaining for me. I am learning Mandarin. Why? Because I want to speak Mandarin, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not learning that because I need to learn it. That's just entertainment for me. But if there's stuff you need to learn, ask who, not how. That's the best thing I can tell anybody. It's all about relationships and networking, which is exactly what affiliate programs are, for the record.
Thanks, man. That was fabulous.
My pleasure.
I've really enjoyed our discussion, actually. You're very American though. You're a bit intense, but you really
very American. I'm gonna get a shirt that says that. Just said, I'm very American about
No, but you know, certain types of Americans, they're very down to it, but you've been very generous in your knowledge, and you really I've actually really enjoyed the interview. It's been one of the better ones this year, actually.
Thank you. I'll leave you with this because you'll appreciate it.
I honestly mean that. If you listen to any of the other, I don't normally say that. Because you never know what you're going to get with an interview, because, you know, as its own life, as you know.
Sure. Well, let me leave you with this, Jonathan, because as a Brit, you'll appreciate this. So I did my ancestry recently, and a little bit, most of it I knew, but I always thought I was mostly just British and Austrian. You know, like from one side of the family, I was primarily British. Found out the one side's actually British and German. Basically, it's a quarter German and 75%, you know, Irish and Scottish with a little bit of English in there. And then the other side is like this hodgepodge. There's German, South England. There's some Dutch. And then to my surprise, it's got to be like really complicated. Then at the very end, I found out that I was part French. I just said, I give up.
Well, yeah, I would if you got a bit of French. I would give up as well. No, I love the French, especially French women. It's a lovely language. I could listen to it forever.
It's a little bit better, though, just a little bit.
Yeah, they're all great. Matt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Matt?
Yeah, so whatever, you're on your favorite podcast player right now, just go type the word affiliate. Usually it's the first thing that pops up. You'll see my smiling face and the affiliate guy there. So just type in affiliate. You should be able to find me pretty easily. Otherwise, if you go to mattmcwilliams.com/machine, that's a URL we created just for your audience there, Jonathan. That will take them to, I've got a free report that we put together all about how to find your first 100 affiliates. So we covered your friends and we covered the customers and competitions. There's actually 12 other ways to find affiliates, things that most people have never thought of. Ways that have worked for us over there. There's some email templates in there for reaching out to them. So if you go to mattmcwilliams.com/machine, you can find that.
That's fantastic, Matt. And thank you so much for Matt's been quite generous coming on the show. He's been very busy dealing with various things, and he had to reschedule. And I do appreciate you coming on the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
I think it's been a fabulous discussion, Tribe. We've got some great guests coming up in July. We've also got my regular co-host, Arun, where we talk about more technical stuff around WordPress and membership. The show's growing. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.